You are welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you're welcome to pull up a chair, turn up your radio, and turn your Bible to John chapter 4, and we'll continue the Sunday school lesson that we have been studying about Jesus and the woman at the well. He had promised this woman living water, and she had mistaken that for some kind of literal water. But Jesus explained to her that this is not something literal. This is spiritual. It's spiritual nourishment that she was desiring, that he could provide for her. And with that living water he would provide, she would never, never thirst again. Let me reread this line. Christ satisfies the thirst of the soul. Nothing earthly can do this. Christ fills it with wellspring of joy, sweet peace, abiding contentment, permanent happiness. In a word, he fills the soul with heaven. We read in John chapter 4 and verse 14, "The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come all the way hither to draw." The woman still mistook him. But he is still interested and thinks that if she had that water, she would not have to go to the well to draw. Well, we're going to continue there in just a moment. That's John chapter 4. We'll be beginning here, reading verses 16 through 18. But first, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. And with that, we're going to return to the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of August the 31st, 1924. Now let me read from the text. It is John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Jesus said unto her, "Go and call thy husband and come thither." The woman answered and said unto him, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou saidest well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. This hast thou said truly." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." You see, to lead her to a knowledge of himself, and to recall her life, and to convince her of her need of salvation, Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband." These words had the desired effect, and she confessed that she had no husband. Jesus replied, "Thou hast had five husbands, and him who thou now hast is not thy husband." As we go on and read in this text from 19 to 24, we see that the woman acknowledges Jesus to be a prophet. And since he is a prophet, she appeals to him to settle a question of the place of worship in the mountain of Samaria, which would have been Mount Gerizim, or at Jerusalem. Some have said that this woman sought to direct the attention of Jesus away from her past life by raising the question of the proper place of worship. But that cannot be. She thought that Jesus, being a prophet, could tell her which was right. And Jesus explains to her that she knows not what she worships, and that in this controversy the Jews are right. But under him, the people must worship God in spirit and truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, the woman said unto him, "I know that the Messiah cometh, he that is called Christ. when he is come, he will declare unto us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You see, the woman acknowledged that when the Messiah should come, he would declare unto the people all things. Here, John again explains that the Messiah is Christ. In this way, Jesus leads her to acknowledge him as the Messiah. No sacred place is now essential to acceptable worship. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in houses made with hands, as saith the prophet, the heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What manner of house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50. Anywhere, everywhere, God may be worshipped under the reign of Christ, but the two important elements of worship are necessary: spirit and truth. One must be in earnest, honest, sincere, and zealous. His whole inner man, his heart and his spirit must be enlisted and engaged. Then he must serve God according to God's word. John 17:17 says, his word is truth. Howbeit earnest and zealous, sincere and honest one may be in doing a wrong thing, that does not make the wrong thing right. Or one may do in a formal, technical, heartless manner, having the form of godliness, while denying the power thereof, and even then be not an acceptable worshiper of God. One may have a zeal without knowledge. We read about that concerning some of the Jews in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they do not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. When we're talking about God's righteousness, we're talking about God's way of making man right. And they were having a zeal for God, but they thought their own way would make man right, and it would not do. It does not suffice to have a zeal without knowledge, or knowledge without zeal. Both are necessary. Now, as we further read in this chapter, we read about leading others to Christ. This woman, notwithstanding her past sinful life, accepted Christ in faith and led many of her neighbors to him. He, being besought by her neighbors, remained there 2 days. Some believed through this woman's word concerning Jesus. Another believed because they heard him themselves. They were open and frank, and it seems that Jesus worked no miracles to convince him. They believed in him without that. This teaches the church today the very important lesson of seeking the salvation of the lost, and to what great results such efforts may lead. This woman was not beyond the attention and love of Jesus, and such should not be beyond ours. Jesus said his meat was to do the will of God. In John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34, we read, in the meanwhile the disciples prayed him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. The disciples therefore said to one another, hath this man brought him any to eat? Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. Having returned with the food, they went to purchase, and the woman, having gone to the city to tell her neighbors about Christ, the wonderful prophet she had just met, who must be the Christ, the disciples prayed. That is, they begged or tried to instruct, encourage Jesus to eat. But he declined, saying he had meat to eat they knew not of. They did not understand his meaning and said to one another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Then he answered, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." It was Jesus' mission on earth to do God's will. He declares of himself, "I'm come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," John 6:38. His judgment was righteous, because he sought not his own, but God's will, John 5 and verse 30. So in his severest trial and deepest sorrow, he prayed, "God's will, and not his, be done." There is no unrighteousness in Jesus, and he was true in all things to all persons, because he sought not his own glory, but the glory of God, John 7 and verse 18. In his consuming desire to do God's will and to accomplish God's work, he lost sight of his hunger and his own comfort. Filled with this spirit, Christ's disciples today lose sight of their physical comforts and appetite in their burning desire and earnest efforts to save souls and to accomplish God's work. Otherwise, let us learn too the wonderful lesson that the more fully people seek to do God's will and not their own, and to glorify God and not themselves, the more nearly righteous and just they are with all others in all things. Being governed by the will of God renders people righteous, just, merciful, of sound mind, and of sound judgment. And then Jesus spoke of the fields being white and the harvest. In John 4 and verse 35 we read, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, that they are already white unto harvest." It was 4 months at that time until the grain harvest, and the grain could not be harvested until that time had come. But looking upon the Samaritans, ready to receive him as the Messiah, he declared to his disciples that the fields were white already unto the harvest. On another occasion he said, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And he exhorted his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. There's a crying need today of the plain, simple, all-powerful, soul-saving gospel of Christ, and of men to preach it in all the world. Hence, there's a great need of faithful and true, righteous, and godly laborers who are satisfied with the wages Jesus here mentions. God's way of obtaining such laborers is to pray him for them. Note that the harvest is his, and he must send into it such laborers as he desires. Jesus declares that the laborer is worthy of his hire, and therefore this is true. But God's way of obtaining more laborers is not to increase the carnal pay. Some men will do anything for money, even to preach, but comparatively few men will preach the gospel of Christ fully and truly for the love of souls and the glory of God, and for the wages which Christ pays. God then really sends laborers into his harvest, and all the seeds are the right kind. All who preach are not God sent. I want you to note that some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, or of faction, Philippians 1, verses 15 through 17. And some preach their own wisdom and theories and speculations and seeking their own glory, John 7:18. He only seeks God's glory who seeks and does and preaches only the will of God.